Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 27th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the program, we're going to help you solve your computer and tech woes, whether you're having issues with a firewall, connecting to the internet, etc., etc. We have our favorite expert in the studio to help you troubleshoot. Tony Yang is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers. Lord knows it's been a while since he's been on the show. I've had to cancel him a couple of times. He's canceled a couple of times, but now he's here. So if something's going wrong, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Computers, tech, Tony Yang, and you after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, here to answer your computer questions and technology questions is none other than Tony Yang. Tony began Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby, and then it blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one. If you have a question about tech or how to get things working on your home system, give us a call, 800-348-2551. There's always something that bugs me about my home system. 800-348-2551. Part of it is that it's 10 years old and it's ready to explode. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org if you have a question for Tony Yang, or 800-348-2551. That's the number. Tony Yang, you've been a tough get on this program. Thanks for finally being in Studio A. How are you?
I'm great. I'm sorry about last time. It's good to be back.
Before that,
always a privilege.
I think I have three crossouts here on the script from the start of January 8th. There was another one. Anyway, great to have you here. You were in Vegas, huh?
I was in Vegas for CES.
Yeah, so what did you find? I mean, every time you go, you come back with strange and wonderful stories of technology.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to be out there. It's the world's largest electronics, consumer electronics
yeah.
show. That's what CES stands for. And you get to see everything, stuff that are on the market now, that's coming out. I mean, I saw 3D TVs without the need for glasses 5 years ago, and we still haven't seen those yet.
I remember you saying that, but I mean, how was the quality on those? Was it really good 3D, or was it just some sort of fake?
It wasn't as great, you know, as wearing a pair of glasses. But hey, you didn't have to bother putting the glasses on, and that's pretty good.
That's great. And then you talked about foldable technology, and we've seen screens and such now sort of trickle in the last year or two.
Yeah, it was amazing. They had these long tunnels. The ceiling of the tunnel was all decorated with
panels. That was downtown Vegas, right?
Was that by
the Golden Nugget down that way?
The downtown Vegas area, those were just light. These are actual LCD screens with 8K resolution.
I mean, by the way,
it's amazing.
Here's a bit of tech that you might be aware of. The microphone, it's got to be tilted a little toward you. Zach, the engineer, is giving me the thumb. I think that's a thumb. Okay, thanks, Zach. 800-348-2551 if you have a computer issue today for Tony Yang. So what was new this time around?
Robot. It seems like that's the big trend now.
Yeah.
Robots and personal aircrafts.
Personal aircraft?
Yep.
All right. Do tell.
Those were the two big things.
Did you get one yet?
I want one.
I totally want a blimp. You know, just a small blimp.
The problem is it's $250,000.
Right. Well, you have that. You're a computer maven. Come on.
I wish I have that.
All right.
It's usually for two passengers. The problem with it is it's only got a 40-mile range.
Okay. That's not far.
It's more like a toy than an actual transportation device.
And you really don't want to run out of batteries mile 41.
You know what was interesting is they have one where it's got a built-in parachute. So in case you run out of battery, the parachute deploys.
If you're high enough.
If you're high enough, right.
If you're 100 feet off the ground, it's so long.
You're going to be in trouble. Maybe they can put a bubble around it or something.
Well, I mean, this was bound to happen, right? As soon as drones started taking off, and drones, it's that technology is sort of old. It's been well researched for decades. And then they started making little ones. And then they said, oh, we'll never put weapons on it. And that lasted about 3 days. And then there's, but I mean, it was only a question of time before people were in these things, right?
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that is. And then you don't have to fly yourself. It's a one button process. You enter the address you want to go to, push the button, and the whole thing it's like a Tesla vehicle. It just drives itself.
Okay, and so let's talk about AI. Tony Yang is here, and by the way, we're talking about large conceptual issues here. If your computer's running slowly or something like that, give us a call, 800-348-2551. So somebody I know, a couple people I know, have Teslas, and they drive themselves. And to me, this sounds A, terrifying, and B, sometimes wonderful. And what is the AI involved? I mean, it's got to be very advanced to handle all the situational awareness all the time on the road when you're driving. Whoops, there goes that microphone again. Yeah. Note to self, tighten microphones before the next show.
So it's actually, you know, Teslas do more than that. It isn't just the car being aware of its surrounding. All that information that it sees is going back to Tesla's main network, and it's sharing that with all the other vehicles around you. So their whole sort of the top level idea is that if there are enough Teslas out there, well, ideally, every vehicle is going to be a Tesla.
Okay.
That way they all talk to each other, and you form this perfect system where all the cars are talking to each other. They all are aware of each other so that there will be no accidents.
Right.
There'll be no need for human interference at all.
Well, I mean, for this to work in a capitalist society, you're going to need much more than one brand. And so is this stuff open source or is it closely guarded?
Tesla says that all of their software are open source.
Really?
But I haven't seen another vehicle out there that uses their software. So there's got to be something to it. I don't know all the details involved in it, but according to Elon Musk, every piece of software that they have is open source.
Amazing. I'm scared of the idea of somebody other than myself driving. I mean, I'm sure it's better than I am at this stage of my life, but it still scares me.
I gave into it, as I shared with you earlier. I finally got myself a Tesla Y.
Yeah.
And I would say it's driving 95% of the time, and I'm driving 5% of the time.
Now, did you have it in bad weather yet?
It does not do well in bad weather. So because it is a purely camera-based system, which I think is a mistake.
Oh, that's all?
It's all cameras now. The original Tesla had a LiDAR system in it, which is a light-based laser system.
Yeah.
And that can see through fog.
And why don't they have that now? The government said, no, you can't?
I think economically, Elon was trying to build, I'm saying Elon like he's my
yeah,
best bud.
Right. He would have given you the car if he was.
He was trying to build a $30,000 vehicle. And that LiDAR system is like $8,000 on its own. So I think it was a huge economical reason behind it. So now it's all camera based. And when it rains hard or it's foggy out, it does not. It shuts itself down.
That's really interesting. Okay, so we'll have to get an update next time you're on, which, based on your past, it'll be like 3 years before you're on again. But you never know. 800-348-2551. It's Tony Yang today. It's computers and tech. Is it even legal in all the states to drive, to have your car drive for you?
It is, but you got to pay constant attention. So your eyes have to look forward.
Right.
But your hands can be off the steering column.
If I'm driving home from Buffalo, I can't take a nice nap until I get home.
No. I wish you could.
By the way,
I would.
How many people have actually done that? Really? Seriously?
Well, I drove. My son had a volleyball tournament in Virginia, and it was like a seven-hour drive. I basically entered the address in the Tesla, and it drove me all the way down, including stops along the way.
Really?
At the charging stations. It's pretty amazing.
How long does it take to charge them?
You get about 200 to 250 miles per 20. Oh, it's more. It's really more like 30-minute charge.
It's a 30-minute charge?
30-minute charge.
That's a little inconvenient.
It is. It is. That part is painful.
All right. Let's go to the email here. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number is 800-348-2551. And Nancy in Argyle writes, I'm sure that this is a common issue. My PC laptop, running Windows 10, has really slow startup. Sometimes it runs slowly while I'm working on it. Check for viruses. Dump the downloads. I've checked startup. Doesn't look like there are any unnecessary apps opening at startup. I back everything up to the cloud. A screenshot with some details is below, which no one can see in the radio audience. What do you suggest I do? Well, I'll show you this. It just shows her operating conditions there. 800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Yang is our guest. It's Vox Pop. And what do you think?
Yeah, hey, Nancy. Well, you got a couple of issues here. Windows 10, you may or may not know that it is at the end of its life. So you want to upgrade that to Windows 11 if you can. So that's number one. The second thing here is you only got 12 gigs of RAM. That's a little low. You really need about 16 or more these days.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
The one thing you might want to do, Nancy, is to when you're actually using your computer, do a Control-Alt-Delete. That will bring out
the task manager.
Yeah. Take a look at it and see what's drawing, what's using a lot of memory, what's using a lot of CPU power. And that way you can kind of narrow down the thing that's slowing down your computer. And one of the things I've always recommended on this show is for people to upgrade, because on a Windows 10 machine, you may still have one of those old mechanical drives in there, which is the slowest part of a computer. An SSD drive replacement would make that computer 10 times faster.
Really? Okay. Number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest today. It's computers and whatnot. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to the phones. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. So, you know, just leave it running there for a minute there, Zach. We had a little phone issue. Ed Rosen is perplexed over there in Master Control. I think if you're calling now and somehow you're disconnected, let it ride and call back. I think we might have to reboot the phone server, which is very ironic since Tony Yang is here from Gig Computers. It's hilarious. By the way, while I have a minute, the lockbox is open. We really need your support. We had a great morning. The fund drive proper begins wall-to-wall fundraising on Monday morning at 6 a.m., goes all day long. The goal of the lockbox is to keep it as short as possible. Everybody's been doing a great job. I don't have the stats in front of me, do I? You know, I'm pretty much a Luddite, and I'm doing a computer show here, so it's
you're pretty good, Ray.
We're at $356,684 in the lockbox, so that counts on minute one of the fund drive. If you got a chance, if you have a moment, please go to WAMC.org, make that pledge, and help us out. It could be any amount that you want. 800-348-2551 is our number here on the show. While we reboot the phones, here's an email from Lori in Enfield. SOS, I have a vintage iPod Shuffle. Lots of music is on it. Is it possible to transfer to my iPhone? I've heard conflicting reports, and that's from Lori in Enfield, Connecticut.
Yeah, you definitely can. You're going to have to get some of the older cables to connect it to your computer iTunes.
iTunes. Oh, could they go to iTunes?
Brain
fart. Sure.
I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's all right.
If you use iTunes, you can back that up in the computer and then transfer it over to your iPhone or iPad, whatever device you want to use.
Right.
So, yes, definitely can do that.
800-348-2551. So I was talking to somebody about an issue with his network, a small network, and all of the computers on this network were a minute and a half, a minute 40 seconds fast. And so what is going on there, and why is it important for computers on a network to all be synced to the right time.
Yes. So the couple of things there. One is if you're on a Microsoft Active Directory network, which is the standard on Microsoft networks, one of the protection layers built into it is that the workstations have to be time synced with the server. That way they know that it's not some other machine, a rogue machine that's trying to hack into the network.
Oh, interesting.
So the time on the workstations have to match what's on the server. In addition to that, once a machine is registered on a network, it now has to sync its time with the server. That's another built-in Microsoft protocol. So if your time is off on a workstation while you're logged into a network, it's most likely because the server's time is off.
Aha. And it's important for security. You said it could be a security risk?
It is a preventative measure from Microsoft where if the clock on your workstation, so let's say you're on a network and your workstation clock starts become unsynced with the server, and let's say you're 5 minutes off, you won't be able to log back onto that server because the time is off. So there's this whole series of triggers that's going to happen if the time is off. It thinks that there's something going on, and it's a security risk.
Interesting.
So the server will not allow you to log back on.
Tony Yang's our guest today. It's Computers and Tech. 800-348-2551 is the number. They're still over there working. It must be give them a certain amount of anxiety to see that Tony Yang of Gig Computers is looking through the glass. Hey, okay, they're still working on it.
Great, we can talk about the Giants, too.
No, we're not, man. You can email us, if that works, at WAMC. Our website is WAMC.org, where you can make a pledge, or you can send your question to Tony by emailing voxpop@WAMC.org. I remember one time years ago, you know, I like to get the most out of my computers, and they're pretty old,
sure.
But I had one, I think it was running Windows 98. And oof. I had it so long that the lithium battery for the memory went. Mm. And then the time really got all crazy. I had to replace that battery. And I miraculously was able to do it. I see somebody on the computer. Shall we give it a shot? All right, let's wing it. We'll go to Troy. Mike, you're on.
Yes. I am using an Apple iOS SE cell phone to open some PDFs. And normally I don't have any problem with this, but recently I received two PDFs. And when I tried to open them, they would say lock, L-O-C-K, not locked, but lock PDF. And then they would, and then when I'd click on them, they would both ask me for a password. Now, I don't know about the second one, but the first one, I talked to other people who received it, and they said they didn't have any problem opening the PDF. I don't know what they were using to open the PDF, whether they were using a cell phone or a computer. But
interesting.
What would cause this?
Yeah, I'm thinking SE is one of the older phones, and I wonder if you perhaps have an older version of the PDF software that's opening up the file. Sometimes the newer, if somebody produces a PDF file and it has the latest version of Adobe software that they use, it's going to save that file using the latest version of the software. So if you try to open that in a older version of Adobe, it won't open up correctly. So
I update everything.
Go ahead.
I do update everything all the time, and as far as I know, I think my PDF software was updated recently. I can't remember. I've had a bunch of different updates, and I make sure every day that I get whatever updates come through.
Huh.
Yeah, I would try. I would try to maybe open that up on a computer and see if it works better on a computer.
That's a good idea.
The other thing that you can do is you can download another piece of software, because Adobe files can be opened by different types of software out there. Maybe just download another Adobe compatible software and see if you can open that up. Troubleshooting is sometimes a process of elimination, unfortunately.
Yes, and an expensive one for those who are having to pay for it, unlike Tony Yang, who gets it free. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Computers and Tech. Mike, thank you for the call, and thank you for hanging in there. Well, I think we have it all straightened out now in the phone system. Let's talk about PDFs for 1 second.
Yep.
PDFs, for some reason, Windows now decides that it's going to default to open them in Edge, which I never use except when I click on a PDF.
Yeah.
Quickly tell me about issues. Are PDFs by themselves, can they be security risks?
There hasn't been any big security leaks with PDF files.
Yeah. But individual ones. So, say a bad actor sends you a file. I mean, can there be malicious code embedded in a PDF?
We have not come across any.
Interesting.
So that's been a pretty stable file platform. You know, it's universally used out there. I mean, there must be billions of PDF files sent on a daily basis. That's been pretty safe, pretty reliable. We haven't heard anything of concern, let's put it that way.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. This is from Andrew. Is there a need to get antivirus software anymore? I always wondered if Windows Defender is good enough versus any of the private competitors. I find most computers that have some of the big names are the slowest computers I've ever worked on. Welcome to my world, Andrew.
Yeah. Now, that's a good question, by the way, because we have constant debates in our company about whether or not the Microsoft Defender software is good enough.
Yeah.
If you look at the best practices, industry best practices, it is recommended that you have a third-party add-on on top of Microsoft Defender.
So you leave them both on?
You leave them both on.
Really? Isn't that a complete resource suck?
It is. I mean, it's not too bad.
Okay.
Microsoft have optimized Defender where it takes a minimal amount of resources from your computer. Other softwares like McAfee and Kapersky and
Does anybody still use Kapersky?
PC-matic.
Isn't Kapersky Russian?
I know. They're still out there. You know, we have kind of standardized ourselves on PC-matic. We think it's pretty good, reliable. It's the best value software out there. So we do recommend that you have a add-on antivirus software.
You
on
know,
top of Defender.
Here's how you, one of the many reasons you could tell I'm rapidly becoming a fossil. So I have one of these third parties, and I won't say the name, but because I'm so petrified about security, they say, oh, do you want the anti-tracker? Oh, sure, $29. Do you want this? Sure, add that on. I swear to you, my whole computer is an antivirus, and that's all it is now. That's the whole, anyway, let's... Okay, so there you go. Let's go back to the phones and spin the wheel and hope for the best. Richard and Rensselaer, you're on with Tony Yang.
Hi, thank you.
You bet.
The library, some of them lend out hotspots, and the local ones, the hotspots all look the same, but number 4 is the only one that connect to my cell phone. They all connect to my laptop fine, which is an old one, but the only number 4 can connect it to the phone. It's as if the other ones aren't turned on when I try to connect the phone to them.
Huh. Richard, I'm not sure if I follow. So you borrow these hotspots from the library and you use it at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then what's the number 4 thing all about? I don't think I follow that. Is that
like
a channel?
Well, it's like there's... hotspot number 1, hotspot number 2. You borrow different ones at different times,
gotcha.
Whichever one's available.
I got you. Okay. Okay.
Huh. Okay.
It just happens that number 4 works with the cell phone, and none of the others I've gotten will. It's
yeah.
As if they're not turned on.
Are they all the same model of hotspots?
They all look the same.
Yeah. The you know, I'm thinking that. There's probably something on the 4th one that's configured differently. whether it's a frequency setting on there or the protocol that it supports, because 802.11 has so many different versions at this point. I think we're up to X right now, 8X.
Really?
There's got to be about a dozen different versions out there. I'm thinking that the fourth one has a setting in there, even though it looks the same. The software inside could be configured just slightly different, where it's not talking to your cell phone properly. Might want to tell the library about it and have them take a look at it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. You know, public Wi-Fis kind of freak me out. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And how do you protect yourself and make sure? I know you always talk about end-to-end encryption and everything else, but there are so many people so much smarter than me out there who figured out a lot. Usually, here's the problem, Tony Yang. By the time we figure out there is a vulnerability, the bad guys have already been exploiting it a while.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Give me the lowdown on public Wi-Fi.
So I would say public Wi-Fi is the well-known public Wi-Fi. So if you're in a Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks,
right,
you're probably doing fine.
Okay.
Because they have their own people that's checking it on a daily basis, make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend logging on to some anonymous Wi-Fi signal. I think that's dangerous. That could produce, you know, all kinds of undesirable results. Typically, when you log into a Wi-Fi system, if it's open, it's not that it's completely unsafe to use. There is a chance somebody could be monitoring the traffic
How?
On the other side. So if you log on, so let's say I create an SSID for you to log on. I now have a path in the middle. It's called the middleman attack. So I now can see all the ones and zeros that's flowing from your device to whoever you're going to. You're also now on my network, which opens the door up now so that I can come in and take a look.
Okay.
Not that I can see everything, but at least the door is open. So that's really the big difference.
Right.
If you're on a public Wi-Fi and somebody wants to get into your data, you have now opened the front door.
Well, that's bad.
It is bad.
How do you stop that?
Don't log on, because there's
even
so
if
many,
you're at a hotel or whatever.
If you're at a hotel, I think you're going
to
be fine.
But okay. You travel, you went to Vegas, yep. You went to CES. I know you get around. When you're in a hotel, do you ever do banking on the Wi-Fi?
Yes. I don't even think about it twice.
Really?
Because as you had just said, banks have end-to-end encryption. So as long as you're not clicking on some pop-up that says, hey, can I access this? Or can I install this piece of software? You're going to be fine.
Really?
Especially when you're in a hotel. Because what they do is, I'm assuming that the hotels are set up properly. So what we do is when we service these large college campuses, you know, where there are 3,000 students on it with 4 devices each, we isolate. When you log on to the college's Wi-Fi system that we provide, the devices are isolated. They're what's called a Wi-Fi isolation mode.
So what does
so
that mean?
So your device can't see any other devices.
Ah, okay.
But that's how most hotels are set up. And if they're not set up that way, then anybody that's on a Wi-Fi system can see each other. So now, again, that's the front door. If you can see each other, that front door is open. But that doesn't mean that they can get into your bedroom.
All right, but okay, that's disturbing. But here's the thing. I just bought a printer. We bought it finally after like 15 years of having a printer that was on the fritz. We bought a printer. And this one has... And I haven't set it up yet, this Wi-Fi access for all the units in your house. Anybody, mm-hmm. kid has an iPhone or whatever, can print.
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing?
It really is.
Isn't that a vulnerability?
I don't know if you recall, but we had a couple of callers that call in and say, hey, you know, I have these things that are printing out of my computer, and I didn't print it. It's because they probably didn't have a Wi-Fi password set up. So now it's open to the world.
That's bad.
It is bad.
You know what, Tony Yang? Let's take a break on that disturbing note. And by the way, do I remember that conversation? Nope. Do I remember the conversation from last week? Nope. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. We'll be back. DapKings, The Reason on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. R.I.P. Sharon Jones, that was greatest backup band in music for quite a while there. Phil in Woodstock has a question for Tony Yang. I have an early 2018 HP laptop with Windows 10. It's nearing the end of life. According to the MS Utility, my processor is one generation too old to run Windows 11. However, I see ads all over the place for how to upgrade to Windows 11 on any Windows 10 machine. I'm concerned that if I do such an upgrade, something will break with Windows 11 upgrades or updates at some time in the future. What's your opinion? And that's from Phil in Woodstock.
Hey, Phil, great question.
Yep.
Because you might have something that's good enough to run Windows 11, but it's not letting you. That includes my laptop, by the way, right? This laptop sitting here, this is about 10 years old, and it did not pass the Windows 11 pre-inspection for the upgrade. So there is a way to disable that.
Interesting.
I'm not going to give you all the details because Ray's going to give me a very dirty look if I do.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, but you can. If you just go onto the web and search around, you can disable the requirement inspection and then do the upgrade to Windows 11. So it definitely is doable, and it's safe.
Okay. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Got a couple of lovely missives from Jacob, who is calling from the 212. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Jacob. I called in earlier but had to hang up. Oh, too bad. I have to say, this program about Teslas has been wildly inaccurate and misinformed. Teslas are not fully autonomous. They're semi-autonomous and require the driver to remain actively engaged, which is what Tony said. Saying that Tesla drives the car is both incorrect and dangerous. Your guest should have made it clear that Tesla's system is similar to other driver assist technologies, not true self-driving. All right, Tony. Mea culpa. Do it. Jacob's listening.
Jacob, you are correct. It is not a legally fully autonomous vehicle.
Okay. All right. Jacob, wonderful. And then the second Jacob is, how is this guy talking about virus software, but nothing about VPN services or private relay on Apple devices or about changing your router password from the default? Seriously, I'm shocked. Jacob, just step off the ledge, brother. All right, so say something.
Yes, VPN services are good. However, the VPN services do not protect your computer. It's no different than having your computer sit on the internet directly.
No.
It just hides the route, hides where you are through the VPN. So you're still going to need some type of protection on top of that.
Okay. All right, Jacob. Let's go to the phones. Jill is in. No, somebody's somewhere. Oh, Jill's in Waterford. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Welcome back. Good to hear you.
Yeah, you too. So I am at this moment sitting in Best Buy's parking lot because I was about to bring my computer here until I heard what your topic was today.
Okay.
And figured I'd give Tony a shot at it.
All right.
I use Thunderbird email. It's okay. Part of Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah.
Okay. That microphone is keeps
all
drooping.
Go ahead, Joe. All of my emails went blank. But the system knows they're there because when you look to the side, it's almost as if they all got erased. It looks like they all got erased.
So the header information is there.
And when I say yes, because on the side where it has the inbox, outbox, draft, et cetera, mm-hmm. it has how many were sent or how many are there. I sent myself an email. It counted it, but it doesn't show up on the screen.
That sounds like a setting.
Joe, do you use the web interface for Thunderbird, or are you using like a client, email client?
It's Roadrunner.
It's web-based, I think.
It's web-based.
Thunderbird, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's Roadrunner. It's Thunderbird is part of Mozilla.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And I use what Time Warner mm-hmm. offers, the okay. NICAP.RR.com.
Yep. You know what I would do, Joe? Have you tried using another browser like Chrome or Safari and see if the emails and the email bodies show up in a different
browser?
I've
never had to. I've been using Mozilla for the last 30 years.
Mm. Jill, one other thing you can try.
And everything was there yesterday. It's just not there today.
Have you rebooted the machine?
Yes, twice.
There is, and if you have your password to your NICAP, you can actually do web-based. If you go to the Time Warner Spectrum website, you can do web-based email and on your browser,
right.
And you can double-check that way. I'll be willing to bet that your emails are not erased.
Yeah, it sounds like the emails are
there.
Oh,
no, I don't think they are erased. They just don't go back as far as I need them to go back on Spectrum's website.
Interesting. Hmm. I don't know. I can't give you an answer on that one.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but I just want to know, have you ever heard of this happening before, and what happened?
Yeah, you know, not the same exact situation, but there's been instances where the body of the email doesn't show up, but the headline does. So you can click on the email itself, the body that's supposed to display on the side window doesn't show anything.
Right.
Right.
Typically,
no, but you don't understand. The headline doesn't even show up. Nothing shows up.
Oh, okay. Except the email number count itself. That's interesting.
The only thing that shows up is the side margin that says inbox, sent, draft, etc.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely do what Ray said earlier. Log into the web email account on NICAP. And just take a look at it, see if it's all there. Yeah. Because you want to make sure your data is there first. And then you can troubleshoot to see why it's not displaying. I would definitely try a different browser.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's just a browser setting.
Yeah, it could be.
But Firefox works just fine. I went on the internet with no problem.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you can visit 99 sites and they're all fine. And then there's this, the hunted site, things that don't show up properly. It sounds to me certainly like it's a configuration error somewhere on a browzer, but I would try a different browser and see if it's all there, and then try to troubleshoot it. Uninstall on Firefox and then reinstall it. Sometimes that will clear the cache up.
Jill, do me a favor.
All right.
Let us know if let us know if you have success, and then tell Tony the next time he's on, which should be 2029. So thank you very much. Let's go to Rob in Amherst. Rob, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about my use of a bill pay app that my bank offers depositors. Is it okay to mention specific banks and names of things like this?
I guess. Sure, but just don't disparage them, please. I can't get sued, all right? So just say what they are and then...
I hope that. Yeah, it's Bank of America, and they have an app they call their Bill Pay app.
Okay.
And I've used it any number of times, and I was using it, it's actually now 2-3 years ago, to pay my property taxes to the town of Amherst. And it was a sizable amount. It was over $4,000. And I got an email after the bank said they had withdrawn the money from my account and sent it to the payee that I had designated. And I thought everything was fine. And in fact, the next quarter, I paid it again on bill pay. But shortly after that, I got a note from the town saying, you're in arrears. We never received your your quarterly payment.
That's bad.
And after a lot, you know, and Bank of America said, bill pay, we have no connection with them. You have to call some 800 number.
Aye.
So it was like dealing with some completely different company. And the people at the 800 number said, well, this is handled by the back office. Yeah. We can forward your complaint.
Yikes.
It was crazy. I've never got my money back. And the town insisted on tracking down the check, the check was actually cut by a completely different bank that Bank of America uses for this.
Okay.
And it was some address in Houston, Texas, to some person with a foreign sounding name that I'd never heard of.
I see.
There's too much of that stuff going
around. I have no idea.
I'm not sure Tony can help you there, and I don't think Tony wants to get sued by Bank of America either. So you want to just do a general comment?
Bill pay from Bank of America is generally safe to use.
Okay.
What you want to make sure, Rob, what you want to make sure that you do is to verify that who you're paying to is legitimate.
Aha.
Because if you just get a bill, and let's say it's a fake bill, especially these electronic bills that you get, somebody can just make that up.
Oy.
And if you put in the wrong, you put in the information to send it to somebody else that's actually not the intended payee, they can cash that check, and once it's out, it's gone.
Those are words to live by for every person on every platform.
Too much of this stuff happening.
Thanks a lot. By the way, Peter wrote in, and this is actually good. Now, we talked to Jill in Waterford about the missing emails.
Mm-hmm.
Peter writes, I think she may have a filter on. Didn't even think about that. That's probably it.
Yeah. Yep.
So check all your filters there, Jill. Let's go now to Meredith in Hancock, Massachusetts. Hello, Meredith.
Hello, Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I have a very nice Apple Watch, and I've tried a number of times to get WAMC on the watch so I can listen to it when I'm walking around, whatever. And I don't know how to do it. There are other radio stations on the watch, but not WAMC.
That's you know what? Maybe if Tony has an answer, fine, but I've never used an Apple Watch as I'm terrified of being tracked as it is, so I would never have the Dick Tracy watch. You want to give any advice on that?
Is there a WAMC mobile app?
Yeah.
There is.
There is.
Okay. So most of the apps will run on the app. Apple Watch. You can also, Joe, go on to the WAMC website.
Yeah,
that has a link to the to these podcasts.
Alternately, Meredith, if you pledge $1 million, I'll just follow you around on your walk and do the news for you directly.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I'll join in with that.
Yeah, what do you think?
Oh dear.
Okay, you know the lockbox is open. Just saying. Hey, you know, seriously though, Meredith, why don't you send that upstairs to our web people, because they're always working on our app. And you can talk to Alexandria.
Oh, okay.
And you know, just call our main number where people can also make pledges, 800-323-9262. That's our office number. And ask for Alexandria. Yeah. She might be able to help you there. Thank you so much. 800-348-2551 is the number here. Kathy is in Seward. You're on with Tony Yang, whose mic continues to droop for the entire show. Go ahead.
I had an interesting occurrence with my laptop. You know how everybody speaks about rebooting, which is essentially turning it off and turning it back on?
Yeah.
Well, my laptop has a battery, and I found out I had a frozen screen. If I walk away and leave it on so that the battery drains, then it'll come back when I plug the electric back in.
Wow. So what does that tell you, Tony?
Almost like a BIOS level issue.
Yeah.
You know what? You might remember one of the things that we recommend listeners do if the computers are not booting is to take the battery out and then push the power on button a couple of times.
Yes.
Just to
clear
get rid of all the electricity with zero electricity in the capacitors. This sounds like one of those coincidences.
So should Kathy make sure she's got all her updates done? Can you do a BIOS update? Does that happen? It's dangerous.
I probably wouldn't recommend end users doing BIOS updates themselves.
No,
unless
not
unless the manufacturer has a software specifically for that you can run in Windows.
Oh.
Even that, I'm like 50-50.
I've messed around with
that.
BIOS a few times, and it's just scary.
That
it's like walking
really
on a high wire.
That's right.
Yeah. I was just very pleased that my screen was no longer frozen. And I thought it was like, whoa, this is terrific. It seemed like an easy fix to me. I just got to wait till the battery's drained.
What's your operating system, Kathy? Well,
Windows.
We could wing it. Okay, it's Windows. You know, what Tony said is true. If it's a laptop, you could bypass completely letting your battery run out and just take the battery out for a few seconds.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not that handy.
All right.
Yeah. The I'm sorry, Kathy. You can also hold, if you hold the power button down for about 5 seconds, generally that will shut the computer right
down. It won't do anything to the software?
Rarely would it cause some data damage, but it's a way to not have to wait until the battery runs out.
All right, I can try that.
Yeah.
Just hold the off button down for a while.
If anything goes wrong, remember it's Tony Yang who told you to do that.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
Hey, Kathy, thanks so much for the call. Well, let's see here. 800-348-2551. Only about a minute to go. We got one more call being screened by Lightning Eddie Rosen. We'll try to squeeze that one in. Okay, let's do it. Hey, Ed, I'm just going to go right to it. Who's this? Is this Mary?
Hi, yes, it's Mary.
Where are you calling
all
from?
All the way from Chicago.
Hey,
I'm
welcome.
All the way from Chicago.
Good. We got about 30 seconds here.
Okay. My spell check function stopped working on my MacBook Air, which is a 2016. It only will work in email, which is Google Gmail, but it won't work in Word. It doesn't work on Facebook. My spell check is all messed up, and I need it.
Yes, I need it too, and it never works for me either. What do you think, Tony? You have 12 seconds to answer the question.
All right.
Any
here's,
ideas?
Here's what ideas. I would do, Mary. Create a second user profile just for testing. Create a second user profile. Log into it and see if your spell checker is working. It's got to be.
I logged into my husband's. Yep. He has a user profile on my computer, and it did. The spell check is still not working.
It's still not
working. Wow. Huh. What a drag.
So that means there's something at the OS level.
It's at the operating system.
It's at the operating system level.
Okay.
Big Sur was real buggy. Big Sur was buggy, and it won't go further because it's a 2015 machine. So you think it could be that.
I could
call Apple.
All right, we're out of time here, Mary. Thanks a lot. You know what? I love the corrections because I was a commercial copywriter back in the old days. My punctuation shot. Anytime I write an email, it has way too many commas or no commas. And my syntax and grammar just... I wrote commercials. You're not writing that way. And I want mine fixed, too, because I look like an idiot most of the time.
Spell checkers and grammar checkers are great.
Hey, man, thanks for being here. Tony Yang, let's not make it another year, all right?
I'm here anytime you want me,
all right, brother.
Ray.
All right, good to have you. Support comes from Curtis Lumber, offering virtual bathroom design services featuring Merillat cabinets and Cambria quartz countertops. Consultations available, curtislumber.com. Chesterwood, the Gilded Age home and studio of American Renaissance sculptor Daniel Chester French, open for guided tours, new exhibition galleries, and blooming gardens, located in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, chesterwood.org. And Daughters of Sarah, I'm discombobulated. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live and age gracefully with dignity and respect, daughtersofsarah.org. Thanks to Tony. Thanks to Zach Malloy. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Thank me, too. Thanks, Ray. You're wonderful. Not really that good. Tomorrow, it's Pets and Vets. We'll see you, too.